From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. With this program, Dr. Cairns continues to examine the Gospel of John. Much of John's material is unique to his Gospel. It contains events and expressions that are not found in the other three Gospels. In the course of this study, we'll see why this particular Gospel has been used of God to bring many souls to a saving knowledge of Christ. A major emphasis of John's Gospel is the mystery of the Incarnation. Over and over, John records how the attributes of deity are ascribed to the Lord Jesus, demonstrating that the one born in Bethlehem is indeed God come in the flesh. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this study under the title, The Glory of God Incarnate. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, To Others, an Example. The text is found in Philippians 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It is well when a man can with advantage be so minutely copied as Paul might have been. Oh, for grace to imitate him this day and every day! Should we, through divine grace, carry into practice the Pauline teaching, we may claim the promise which is now open before us. And what a promise it is! God, who loves peace, makes peace, and breathes peace, will be with us. Peace be with you is a sweet benediction, but for the God of peace to be with us is far more. Thus we have the fountain as well as the streams, the sun as well as his beams. If the God of peace be with us, we shall enjoy the peace of God which passes all understanding, even though outward circumstances should threaten to disturb. If men quarrel, we shall be sure to be peacemakers, if the Maker of peace be with us. It is in the way of truth that real peace is found. If we quit the faith or leave the path of righteousness under the notion of promoting peace, we shall be greatly mistaken. First pure, then peaceable, is the order of wisdom and of fact. Let us keep to Paul's line, and we shall have the God of peace with us, as he was with the apostle.
And
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the LTBS radio website, but we are now making available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of it free of charge simply by requesting it. You may email ltbs at freepres.org, that's ltbs at freepres.org, or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns.
What the Holy Spirit is doing in this book is declaring to us that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Now we have got to understand that. Everything in this book is meant to lead us to that conclusion. These are written, chapter 20, verse 31 says, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's the purpose of this book. That you might believe that he is the Christ, that he's the Son of God and God the Son, and that believing in him, you should have eternal life. That's the whole purpose why this book is written. It's a very good reason, by the way, in your witnessing, why it's encouraging and also very productive to present this book to unbelievers. When I deal with people who say that they are sincere doubters, they just don't know. I always give them John's Gospel. Well, will you read it? This is written that you might know. I remember talking to a fellow and he said, I don't even know if God is. I said, well, are you willing to find out? Oh, yes, I'm willing to find out. Are you sure you're willing to find out? I'm willing to find out. Okay, will you pray the prayer that R.A. Torrey used to challenge the agnostics of his day with? Take John's Gospel, open it up, and pray, O God, if there is any God, if Jesus Christ is your Son, and this is your Word, reveal yourself to me, and I promise I will acknowledge you, receive you, and follow Christ as my Lord and Savior. John 7:17, if any man wants to know the doctrine, then he will know it. This is written in order that you might believe. That fellow was proved to be just a trifler, a liar really, hiding his sinful life behind a vain philosophy. He no more wanted to know the truth. Every time I met him, I used to say, George, have you started reading John's Gospel yet? No, I haven't got around to it. Next time, George, have you read John's Gospel? Have you asked the Lord if he's there to show you Christ? No. I said, George, you know, you're just a fool and you're just a trifler. You are not interested. You know the truth of Jesus Christ as well as I know it. And you're afraid to face up to it. This is written that you might believe. Now, everything, really, the whole doctrine of the gospel is contained, summarized in the prologue. That's what we read this morning. This is the gospel in embryo. Now, the great theme, look at it, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The great theme is the Word, the Logos, the Word. That's a wonderful title for the Son of God. And verse 18 makes it clear that it is a title for the Son of God. And you have here the essential and eternal self-expression of God. The eternity of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The personality of the Word. He was with God. Yet the deity of the Word, he was God. The activity of the Word, all things were made through him. The glory of the Word, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. The victory of the Word, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended, or literally, the darkness overcame it not. The victory of the Word. And then verses 14 and 18, the identity of the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is it? It is Jesus Christ who is declared for us. Verse 18. Now verse 14 is the key. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want us to think of this morning. I have managed to keep every other study to one message. John is so big that if I fail to get far enough, I'll come back to it another Sabbath morning. But I intend to try to get through in one message this whole message on the glory of God incarnate. You know, that's not the subject of a sermon, that's the subject of a lifetime study. The glory of God incarnate. Now let's start with the mystery of the incarnation. The Word became or was made flesh. The Word became flesh. I call that the mystery of the incarnation because that's what the Lord calls it. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, John's gospel very clearly presents a Christ who is truly man. In chapter 4, we have him weary with his journey, sitting by the side of the well of Sychar. In chapter 11, we have him weeping at the grave of Lazarus. So, John is presenting a Christ who is truly man. But equally clearly, he is presenting a Christ who is truly God. And as you read through this book, you'll find that all the attributes of deity are ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me point some of them out to you and mark them in your Bible and ponder them greatly. The basic attribute of deity is that he has life in himself. The theologians have a term for that. They call it aseity. It comes from two Latin words, a, meaning from, se, meaning himself. In other words, he has no derived life. You and I have life, but it's derived life. Only God has life that is essential, eternal, and underived. He is the root of his own being. That is what is true of deity. Now we turn to John 5 and verse 26. And you find that this is true of Christ himself. As the Father hath life in himself. Now use the theological term. As the Father has aseity, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. There's the mystery of the Trinity and the relations of the persons in the Trinity there. But nonetheless, there is this fact, Christ has life in himself. That is true of none but God. It would be an utter blasphemy. It would be not only blasphemy, it would be a total folly to write that of anyone who is not truly, essentially, eternally, and absolutely God. He has life in himself. Then you think of the other great attributes, the omniscience of God. I'm not going to take time to go through John's gospel, but in almost every chapter of this gospel, if you look closely enough, you will find some evidence to the knowledge of Christ, to the omniscience of Christ. For example, in chapter 1, Nathanael is brought to him. And Jesus says, immediately, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile. Nathanael naturally says, you've never seen me. You've never known me. So how do you know anything about me? Whilst I was under the fig tree, I saw thee. That immediate exhibition of absolute knowledge, knowledge of him, was enough to conquer the will of Nathanael. Christ knew. In chapter 2, he knew what was in man, the very end of the chapter. You go through this gospel and you find week or chapter after chapter after chapter, this emphasis upon the omniscience of Christ. He's truly God. Then you think of the omnipotence. That belongs to God alone. You go through the great sign miracles, there are 8 of them in this gospel, and they all show absolute power. Let me take one of them for the simplest example. You take the feeding of the 5,000. The Lord Jesus Christ took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He broke them. The breaking is so, and this is so definitely and carefully written in the scriptures, he broke. That was it. There were only 5 loaves and 2 fishes to break. He broke them and had done with it. But the tense of the verb changes when it says he gave. He broke. And he was constantly giving. Until 5,000 men were fed. So that in the very hands of Jesus Christ, the miracle of creation took place. That's omnipotence. Again, he stands at the grave of Lazarus. And Lazarus' corpse is already stinking, corrupting in death. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. That is creative power. That's God's power. Omnipotence belongs to Christ. And then again in chapter 5, there is equality with the Father. In chapter 5 and in verse 18, you have the statement, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, as they thought, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, here's what John's Gospel is teaching. A Christ who is truly man, but a Christ who is truly and absolutely God. And yet there are not two Christs. There are not two persons. This is not God humanized. This is not man deified. Here is the mystery of the incarnation, that God, the Son, the second person of the eternal Trinity, took him to a union with himself, a union that we cannot understand, we cannot even describe, took into union with himself a true humanity as to body and soul. And so, with two natures in one person, he is the perfect Redeemer and the only Savior. The mystery of the incarnation, revealed but not explained, God was manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.